America's economy runs on railroads.
The railroads carry chemicals that are used to purify water that comes through your taps. They carry ethanol, which is in gasoline that you buy at the pump. They carry 1/4 of all U.S. grain, essentially making sure that Americans have food on their tables.
Our colleague Esther Fung covers railroads.
There are locomotive engineers, conductors, signalmen, machinists, electrical workers, firemen and oilers, boilermakers, blacksmiths, dispatches. So much goes into running a railroad.
But since July, there's been a looming threat that America's railroads could grind to a halt.
About 60,000 workers are set to walk off the job if unions and management fail to come to an agreement.
Trying to head off what could be a devastating rail strike heading into the holiday season.
Consequences would be catastrophic.
For 3 years, 12 unions and more than 30 railroads have been negotiating a new contract. The talks came to a head this year when unions voted to strike.
A rail strike down would be intolerable for the economy. Having more disruptions to supply chains would be unacceptable.
And last week, the Biden administration stepped in and forced a deal that major unions didn't want. Is this a loss for the labor movement?
On one hand, they did get higher wage increases, and that was definitely more than what the railroads had anticipated. But one railroad worker told me last night that for them, they felt dejected. So some workers definitely saw this as a defeat.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Monday, December 5th. Coming up on the show, how an impasse over rail labor got so bad that the president stepped in.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems. But buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Mike Corcoran has been a railway signalman in Chicago for 14 years. He works for BNSF, one of the largest freight railroads in North America. And can you explain the job of a signalman?
Yeah, it's a diverse job. We do a little bit of everything. So we do construction work. We operate heavy machinery. We do electrical. We do gas work. We do plumbing. We do concrete work. A lot of it involves digging trenches, you know, setting up the signal apparatus to put in service for the trains to run on.
How many contract negotiations have you been through?
I believe this is my third one.
What were you hoping to get out of these negotiations?
To be honest with you, number one answer is always more money, right?
Yeah, sure.
But coming through the pandemic, it was really the need for sick days.
Mike recalled a time a few years ago when he got sick.
I wasn't feeling well on a weekend. My scheduled off time wasn't feeling well. Sunday, I went to an urgent care facility and was diagnosed with walking pneumonia. And it was towards the end of the year. I had used my allotted vacation days, so I didn't have a choice. It was either to take the vacation. It was either show up to work sick or not get paid for a week. And to me, the choice was obvious. It was easy. I went to work sick. And in hindsight, you know, probably wasn't the best decision because I put myself at risk and I put the members of my crew at risk because I wasn't there 100% clear-headed. I wasn't focused on the task. I was miserable because I was sick.
You don't have sick days?
We don't. We don't have any sick days. And that's been one of the biggest sticking points is 7 sick days.
Paid sick leave was just one of the things that unions were asking for. They were also asking for wage increases, citing record profits by the railroads.
We get an email every quarter. They post their quarterly earnings on our intranet homepage. So we see how well the carriers are doing, how much money they make.
The unions and the railroads couldn't come to terms on a few issues. One of the things that the railroads asked for is for more flexibility in terms of the number of train crew on a train. The railroads wanted more flexibility to have like a one-man crew instead of a two-man crew. And the workers said that that's insufficient because of safety issues. It would take longer to troubleshoot if a train breaks down halfway.
But the railroads have been pushing for one-person crews because they say it helps with scheduling, and it would allow them to haul more cargo with fewer locomotives. In July, a federal agency prohibited most trains from having one-person crews. After years of negotiations and little progress, a deadline was looming in July. And as that date got closer, talks started heating up. One of the unions asked its committee members if they were ready to consider the most powerful weapon in their arsenal.
If they wanted to strike.
And what did their members say?
The members voted to say they wanted to strike.
A strike would grind the economy to a halt and cost an estimated $2 billion a day.
That definitely got the attention of lawmakers. The White House put out a statement saying that this would affect interstate commerce. It would affect and disrupt essential transportation. And so they had to get involved.
Because the railroads are so important to the economy, the government has special powers. In the 1920s, a law called the Railway Labor Act was created so that the government can stop a railroad strike.
They have gotten involved at least 18 times. The last time that there was a railroad strike was in 1992, and that was quickly stopped within 2 days.
This law created a set of steps that the government must follow if it intervenes with railroad labor disputes. And following those steps, Biden appointed a 3-member panel to look into the situation and find a solution.
That happened in July, and within 30 days, they had to come up with a set of recommendations as to how these two parties could resolve their dispute.
In August, the panel came up with a proposed new contract that included, among other things, a 24% wage increase over 5 years and one more paid personal day a year. The railroads were on board, and the next step was for members of the 12 unions to vote on the agreement. The results from each union rolled in over weeks, and by November 21st,
8 out of 12 unions said their members ratified the votes, and 4 unions, they said that their workers voted to reject the tentative agreement.
And so when the contract was presented to us as members for us to vote on, to ratify, we overwhelmingly rejected the contract. We overwhelmingly voted it down because of, you know, the lack of sick days. There were some other sticking points that we felt could have been addressed that weren't.
Mike's union, the Brotherhood of Railroad Signalmen, was one of the 4 unions that voted down the agreement, blocking the deal. Now, the sides were more entrenched than ever, and time was ticking, because there was a new deadline. Without an agreement by December 9th, the railroad workers would strike. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, will you be able to afford a third kid? Will you be able to do everything you want when you retire? What if you outlive your savings? Empower knows these questions can be stressful, so they're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Tap the banner to learn more or visit empower.com.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Last Monday, Biden made a move that hasn't been made in three decades. He asked Congress to intervene in railroad contract negotiations.
I think for many of these lawmakers, on one hand, they feel that railroad workers and their unions should be able to negotiate with the railroads without government intervention. But the consequences to the economy would be too much for them to ignore. And so many of them said that they were reluctantly stepping in and voting.
So Congress acts.
Yes. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi came out to say that, yes, we would support legislation to avert a rail strike.
Avoid the rail strike. The president made his statement yesterday. Tomorrow morning, he asked Congress to act. Tomorrow morning, we will have a bill on the floor.
How did the unions react?
So the unions, they were not happy. They specifically told Congress not to intervene. They said that workers have a right to negotiations and that they also have a right to strike if these negotiations don't result in a resolution.
But Congress went ahead anyway.
Yes, Congress went ahead anyway.
But in a concession to unions, Pelosi then introduced a separate bill that would give rail workers 7 days of paid sick leave. Last week, the two bills went to a vote. Congress voted to force unions to adopt the agreement. But the paid sick leave, the Senate didn't pass it. What has the response been from the side of the rail companies?
The rail companies said that they acknowledged that none of the parties achieved everything they advocated for and that this has been a compromise. But they felt that they could close this chapter and move forward and that they understood as well that there's more to be done to address employees' work-life balance concerns.
But some rail workers, like Mike, are upset. Do you feel let down by the president?
Absolutely, yes. You know, there are a number of senators also that voted to impose this contract, knowing that we'd already rejected it. I don't feel like we were listened to. I felt that once we put our contract and our livelihoods in the hands of politicians, that we felt that they were going to side with the rail carriers and sit behind the guise of the supply chain being disrupted.
So how do you feel going to work now?
We're still going to do our job. We're going to be safe. We're going to do it to the best of our ability and be professional because that's what we are. That's what we do.
Last Friday, Biden described the deal as the right thing to do to, quote, keep supply chains stable around the holidays.
Employees are asking for more flexibility, for better work-life balance schedules, for higher pay. And you've seen this in other industries as well. You know, workers in Amazon and in Starbucks coming together to unionize. Workers want fairer working conditions. They want also a piece of the profits that companies make. In my conversation with rail workers, it definitely struck me that they take so much pride in the work that they do. They understand that what they do keeps people safe. What they do is essential to people's lives. They bring food to the table. They make sure that medicines are available. They make sure that people have gas in their cars. And they want a fairer compensation for the work that they do.
But from the perspective of the overall U.S. economy,
from the perspective of the U.S. economy, this is a win.
Christmas is saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'll have you back on the show in 2024 when we start contract negotiations again.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yeah.
That's all for today, Monday, December 5th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode from Katie Stetch-Ferrick, David Harrison, and Andrew Restuccia. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.